very good Tuesday and welcome to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. It's a great show we have for you here today on this week's My Ag Life and Citrus episode. Taylor Charlstrom brings a report from the Citrus Research Board on a new incentive program for additional Asian citrus ciliate mitigation, as well as information from the upcoming California Citrus Conference. And I'll bring you regional and national agricultural news, beginning with regional ag news right after this.
The Crop Consultant Conference returns on September 28th and 29th in Visalia, California. Co-hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and the Western Region Certified Crop Advisors Association, this two-day conference features two concurrent CE tracks for both PCAs and CCAs. Earn the DPR and CCA credits you need. Network on our trade show floor and join us in giving away scholarships and honorariums presented by Western Region CCA, including the CCA of the Year Award. Visit progressivecrop.com/conference.
The USDA is investing up to $2.8 billion in 70 projects under the first pool of the Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities funding opportunity, with projects from the second funding pool to be announced later this year. Ultimately, USDA's anticipated investment will triple to more than $3 billion to help create market opportunities for American commodities using climate smart production practices. These initial projects will expand markets for climate smart commodities, leverage the greenhouse gas benefits of climate smart commodity production, and provide direct, meaningful benefits to agriculture, including small and underserved producers. Applicants submitted more than 450 project proposals in this first funding pool, and the strength of the projects led USDA to increase its investment in this opportunity from the initial $1 billion that Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack announced earlier this year. California agricultural interests are partnering in projects, drawing up to $872.5 million of this investment for transitioning to climate smart practices or expanding them. Commodities that are benefiting include fruits, vegetables, rice, dairy, beef, nuts, and cotton. California Department of Food and Agriculture Secretary Karen Ross says they are grateful to have a federal partner in the USDA that is focused on the fundamental challenge of sustainability, not just of agriculture, but life itself on Earth. These investments are much needed and greatly appreciated. She says they will strongly support innovative efforts in California to address the climate crisis. It is gratifying to see the broad scope of projects being funded across the nation and the emphasis on tribes and historically underserved farmers and ranchers. The complete list of California funding packages are available online at usda.gov. As National Hispanic Heritage Month begins, the California Department of Food and Agriculture wishes to acknowledge the extensive contributions of Hispanics in California. According to the 2017 Census of Agriculture, California has a total of 14,597 Hispanic producers. CDFA recognizes that diversity in agriculture is a critical strength and is committed to working with underserved farmers, ranchers, and farm workers in meeting the challenges ahead to help ensure a more equitable and prosperous future. National Hispanic Heritage Month runs now through October 15th. California Giant Berry Farms, headquartered in Watsonville, conducted a pilot program this summer to improve its berry cooling process. The berry company partnered with Intellogistics using its IntelliCool system. Joe Barcy, president of California Giant, said the company was pleased with the results. He said it solved labor issues, reduced cooling time, showed ease of implementation and usage, provided paperless documentation of the pre-cooling process, and it provided real-time actionable data and visibility for efficiency improvement. Barcy said the ease of use and efficiency could be seen in the fact that forklift drivers no longer have to get off their machines to measure cooler temperatures, and they can monitor it all using their smartphone or tablet. He said the interface is pretty easy and saves a lot of time. Intellogistics' IntelliCool is designed to create a smarter cooling process for both tunnel and vacuum tube cooling. It is a software system with probes and hubs that works with off-the-shelf hardware components within a company's existing cooling system. It digitizes the data and ties it into the system and can make adjustments automatically during the cooling process. Fresh Farms finished their Mexican grape season around July 11th, the same week they started up in California out of their Fresh Farms offices and cold storage in Kingsburg. The California production this year should be a little lower in volume than last season by about 10 to 12% due to a frost that occurred during the growing cycle. The initial quality of the grapes they've seen thus far have been outstanding. While it's true they're seeing hot weather push the greens harvest earlier and reds don't color as fast when it's hot. But on their company, Molina farmed sweet globes and scarlet royals, and they've had excellent consistency in size, color, and bricks. A good volume of their sweet globe crop has been going to export this season, as the size was really large and the bricks were well over 18, 19, and 20 going out. There are good supplies for promotions and for retailers as well as food service to have big sales for grapes. Grapes are a great category to promote this time of the year as there are ample volumes and they have excellent quality. Retailers can boost their store traffic by keeping displays full of all three colors and offering candy varieties when available. Fresh Farm says they look to finish the season strong with possibly less fruit in the marketplace than last season going into November and December. With an organic pear crop that is significantly larger than last year's production, Pacific Northwest growers have been harvesting for the past month and will have solid supplies for fall and holiday promotions. From a Northwest industry perspective, supplies are going to be good for organic pears, and organic pears always need promotion during their season, according to Stemmelt Growers Marketing Director Brianna Shales. The September 1st crop estimate has the industry increasing in organic pear supplies over last year by 21%. Summit will have fewer organic pears than a year ago because of acreage transitions, but the longtime grower shipper will still have a good share of the industry's organic pears. Pears are challenging to grow organically, and having the right site and growing conditions is important, according to Shales. Retailers will have many options when promoting organic pears as increased organic production is higher across all the core varieties. Bartlett is up 12%, Anjou up 21%, Bosque up 29%, and Red Anjou up a whopping 86%. When it comes to Stemmelt's offerings in particular, the company will have a similar increase over last year on organic Bartlett, but fewer of the other three main varieties. Shales reiterated that promotion is critical for the organic pear category. She says it's important to make them part of the plan during the holiday months and especially around National Pear Month in December when display space increases and promotions are frequent.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together. There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Taylor Chalstrom is in with the My Ag Life in Citrus feature report. In this report, we hear from the Citrus Research Board on a new incentive program for additional Asian citrus ciliate mitigation. And now, a report on the upcoming California Citrus Conference.
Trials project known as CA Craft. The overarching goal of CA Craft is to demonstrate the effects of additional mitigations on Asian citrus psyllid control within commercial citrus groves across the various citrus growing regions in California. Project manager Ariana Gehrig at Citrus Research Board has more.
The program will measure psyllid levels within treated groves as a year-by-year measurement and relative to the regional psyllid levels. Psyllids will also be monitored by both field technicians conducting tap counts and visual monitoring on trees and new flush growth, and also by traps being installed at all project groves. Additionally, canines trained to detect ACP will also be used to scout in project groves on a limited basis.
Producers can choose from one or more mitigations provided, including preventative mitigations, which are barrier mesh fencing, living windbreaks, and trap crops, as well as threshold-based mitigations like biological control agent releases and pesticide treatments like border sprays, psyllid repellents, and ant control.
The additional mitigations are expected to help reduce psyllid populations and inform growers of best practices. And there are two main types of mitigations included in this program. One is preventative mitigations, and the second is threshold-based mitigations. So preventative mitigations are permanent barriers to exclude psyllids from entering groves. And examples of that would be barrier mesh fencing, living windbreaks, and trap crops. And we are supporting both the installation of a new windbreak or maintenance of existing windbreaks that might already be established. And then for threshold-based mitigations, those are treatments for psyllids that will be scheduled as psyllid levels rise above certain levels. These treatments will include additional border treatments, psyllid repellents like kaolin clay, ant control, and biocontrol releases, which is the release of natural enemies or predators. And those treatments will occur on an ongoing basis. It will be based on like the scouting results and trap counts and things like that. We will have field technicians that will be monitoring the psyllid levels either on a monthly or a bi-monthly basis. So they will be going out to those groves and doing the tap and visual monitoring, especially during times of new flush. They will be inspecting those trees, like I said, depending on the time of year, either monthly or bi-monthly. And so interacting with those growers in those cases. And we will be following up with growers throughout the program, you know, letting them know what we're finding out in their groves so that they can treat accordingly.
Priority will be given to California citrus groves with ongoing psyllid pressures and or in proximity to major psyllid risk factors like transportation corridors and residential areas. And compensation will be provided based on the mitigations adopted by growers.
Growers will receive compensation to offset the treatment costs, with additional support for data collection. The compensation will be fixed based on the mitigation selected and the acreage that's been approved for that site location. And we have gone into that in a bit more detail on the webinars that we're doing for growers. And I would like to note that we do have one more webinar coming up on Thursday, September 29th at 3 p.m. And growers can register for that webinar on the California Craft page on the Citrus Research Board website. All commercial citrus growers in California are invited to apply, both organic and conventional growers. And so we're looking to have as many different growers with different varieties, different age groves and trees, in as many different locations as possible, because we really want to test these mitigations in all the different growing regions of California. And in addition to that, priority will be given to growers with ongoing psyllid pressures or in proximity to major psyllid risk factors. And some of those risk factors are things like transportation corridors or residential areas, things like that, maybe packing houses, and so that they're trying to exclude psyllids from coming into their grove.
Garrig said it was a goal for the Citrus Research Board when creating the CA Craft program for it to be applicable not only to conventional growers, but also to organic growers.
Citrus Research Board, you know, we support all the growers in the citrus industry in California. And so, you know, we want to test this out in as many locations as possible and see what works. And hopefully, you know, and help growers see, you know, best practices and what works in their particular situation. And so there's all these, they all have different situations. And so that's why we are collecting information from them upfront on what their historical psyllid pressure and what's going on in their grove. So we can understand that and then hopefully help them implement the best treatments for their situation.
Applications for the CA Craft Program through Citrus Research Board are due by October 1st of this year. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
This segment was sponsored by Polymer Ag, makers of Anti-Stress 550, the climate stress solution. Find out more at polymerag.com.
A U.S. district court says the USDA's decision to allow genetically engineered foods to only be labeled with a QR code was unlawful. The Center for Food Safety says USDA is required to add additional disclosure options to those foods under the USDA's bioengineered food disclosure standard. It is a victory for all Americans, according to Meredith Stevenson, Center for Food Safety staff attorney and counsel in the case. The decision marks a key step towards ending the food industry's deceptive and discriminatory GMO food labeling practices practices, which have kept consumers in the dark by concealing what's in their products. The court sent back to the agency the QR code portions of the 2018 Trump administration rules for GMO labeling that went into effect on January 1st of this year. The center also says the court now confirmed that the USDA acted unlawfully in allowing standalone QR code and other electronic GMO labeling. Rural broadband deployment won't succeed closing the digital divide unless the agencies handling billions in funding coordinate better. That's the collective sentiment of House Ag members. Ag Chair David Scott says effective communication is the key to 100% rural broadband deployment using the Historic Infrastructure and Jobs Act funding.
And this is why we establish procedures for interagency coordination among USDA, NTIA, and FCC in the 2018 Farm Bill, and we must continue to engage with each other to ensure effective coordination.
But different application procedures, data sets, coverage maps, and more have led to grant duplication or no help at all for underserved areas. Top Ag Republican G.T. Thompson complained that senators minimized USDA's broadband role in the infrastructure bill, but saved his loudest criticism for the FCC and NTIA.
I would be remiss if I didn't share my utter disappointment and, quite frankly, shock that representatives from the Federal Communications Commission and the National Telecommunications and Information Administration declined the invitation to testify today. Their absence is noted, and it illustrates their indifference towards the needs of rural Americans and our rural communities.
Leaving it up to USDA's Rural Development Chief, Zuchelle Torres-Small, to answer the key hearing question.
It is the big question. $62 billion is a huge investment, and the only way we reach the places we need to is if we coordinate. I'll be very honest with you, it is hard. There are silos. People are used to working within their agencies.
But Torres-Small claims things are changing. The agencies are helping each other with applications, outreach, and program timing to avoid overbuilding in areas already served. Though she says the challenge will grow as the states get more involved and use programs like USA's Reconnect or create their own programs. The House Small Business Subcommittee heard from both sides in the right to repair debate in agriculture. IndustryUpdate.com says lawmakers will have to consider measures that would require machine manufacturers to give customers the software, parts, and tools they want to make their own repairs. Ken Taylor of the Equipment Dealers Association expressed concern that giving people access to internal software in their equipment would allow them to change emissions and safety controls in tractors and other implements. While dealers already sell several parts directly to farmers, the Manufacturers Association does not want customers tampering with controls for safety, environmental, and health reasons. Gay Gordon Byrne, representing a repair association, said farmers just want to be able to get parts and make repairs themselves. She says all this worry about modifying emissions and tweaking tractors is not repair. They just want to do something simple that has been complicated by these questions. What is the expected effect on milk prices as dairy producers will likely boost output next year? USA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
U.S. milk output is continuing to grow, but at a slower pace
relative to where we thought it would be last month.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Chekanowski says his group has knocked 300 million pounds off this year's milk production forecast, 400 million off of 2023's.
Based on smaller cow inventories.
Smaller than expected, but looking at next year's actual milk production, USDA is projecting output 228.8 billion pounds, up almost 2.5 billion, or about 1% from this year's production. Luckily for the dairy industry,
dairy product demand is relatively strong, especially in terms of cheese.
But not strong enough to keep prices for dairy products and milk from falling a bit in 2023.
And essentially across most of the major product categories, we're anticipating some year-over-year declines in product prices.
And the expected all milk price will drop to $22.70 a hundredweight.
Down $2.75 per hundredweight.
Or about an 11% drop. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
U.S. Apple President and CEO Jim Baer spoke at a press conference earlier this month on Capitol Hill urging Senate action on the Farm Workforce Modernization Act. He joined Representative Dan Newhouse, a Republican from Washington, and Representative Mike Simpson, a Republican from Idaho, as well as other agriculture industry leaders as part of the American Business Immigration Coalition. In his statement, he said agriculture labor reform has been their top legislative priority for more than a decade. It's the issue that keeps Apple growers awake at night, whether they employ 500 workers or five. An entire year of care and input costs can be lost when it's time to harvest and workers arrive later, not at all. Increasingly, Apple growers are turning to the H-2A guest worker program, and today apples are probably the largest single commodity user of the program. But workers are often delayed due to administrative red tape, and the costs associated with the program have outpaced inflation for decades. He says the reforms in the House passed Farm Workforce Modernization Act would bring the needed stability and predictability to the agriculture labor market as a whole, and specifically to the H-2A program. Growers would know what their labor costs are for the year and could plan accordingly instead of scrambling when they learn at last minute the H-2A wage rate is increasing by 10% or more. At the latter part of his statement, he says the past 2 years have created a perfect storm as growers' input costs, such as fuel, fertilizer, and freight, has risen as much as 300%, while lost export markets have left apples in the market and is making the strain even greater. Apple growers are making tough decisions to determine if they can hang to continue producing America's favorite fruit for another year, or if what has been a livelihood for three, four, or more generations stops with them.
Do you know the nutrient use efficiency people? Yes, I'm talking about the folks at Verdesian Life Sciences that deliver crop insights and solutions so California crops grow to their full potential. From micros with a proprietary delivery system to solutions that help improve the uptake and assimilation of applied nutrients. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more about Verdesian solutions or to connect with a local representative right here in California.
The Citrus Research Board has announced their California Citrus Conference in Visalia, California, at the Visalia Convention Center on October 19th of this year. The entire citrus industry is invited to participate in this free one-day conference, which will highlight the best of the best in citrus research. As space is limited, registration is required.
The California Citrus Conference is hosted by the Citrus Research Board, and it's a showcase of the best of the best of citrus research that is happening right now. We're promoting ongoing and outstanding research efforts that are benefiting California citrus growers and the industry as a whole. The conference is taking place on Wednesday, October 19th at the Visalia Convention Center. It is free to attend. Registration is open now on citrusresearch.org, and registration closes on Monday, October 19th. We will have continuing education units available from both the Department of Pesticide Regulations and certified crop advisors. Those are pending approval, but we will be sure to share the information when it's available. The conference is geared towards citrus growers and PCAs, as well as all other citrus industry professionals. We'll have a variety of guest speakers and experts in their field. They'll be discussing, we have new varieties, integrated pest management talks, mechanization, water issues, and more. We'll have an update from California Citrus Mutual on their happenings over the past year, as well as an update on our own California Craft Program. And we will have researchers from around the country that will be sharing their research on posters, and that will highlight a variety of information and projects that they have going on. In addition, we will have researchers available to discuss their research, talk about what is happening on the research side of the citrus industry, and how growers can implement the research that they're doing. It's free to attend. Breakfast and lunch will be provided.
That's Caitlin Stanton with Citrus Research Board, and she said this year's conference will look to cover some slightly different topics from last year's conference.
Last year, we had a lot more talks on, you know, genetic editing and new varieties, and this year, we've kind of focused more on the IPM side. We have a talk about weed management, a talk about spray drift, a talk about IPM guidelines for mandarins. We also have a couple of mechanization talks, one about robotics and one about drones and how those are being used in the citrus industry. So we try to switch up the topics every year to give people insight onto something else that's happening in the citrus industry.
Registration information can be found at citrusresearch.org. It ends on October 19th. And again, continuing education hours will be provided at the event. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.